Father, we, again, are very thankful, and Lord, we are very conscious of your love toward us, your abundant grace, your grace sufficient. We thank you again this morning that we can gather in your name, and we praise you for your love and kindness. We praise you for the word of God put before us, that we might know the ways of God. Lord, we thank you that you taught Moses the ways of God. And Lord, we ask that our hearts would be open, that we might learn the ways of God. We commit our time to you this morning, Lord. We have been trusting you over these days to speak to hearts from the oldest to the youngest. And we think of these young children as they will come in a few minutes to testify. We pray you would make the word of God and the ways of God real to them. Lord, we're trusting you to work in their hearts. We thank you, Lord, you are powerful to do this. And Lord, we look to you with expectation. We trust our morning to you and pray as well for the session after this, that you would go before, strengthen, meet, speak to our hearts, that we might be your people upon this earth. We thank you. We praise you, commit our time to you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, all I want to do really is, in a way, prepare you for the drama or the play that the young kids are going to put on. And seeing as it is Sunday school hour, as it were, I'm going to go through a very familiar passage in Daniel again. Not Daniel in the lion's den, but we'll look at his three friends and just the great trial and testing of being before that fiery furnace. But before we get there, I'll read verses in James, and then we'll go backwards to Daniel chapter 3. But James says this in verses 2 and verses 3 and verses 4. He says to the scattered tribes, he says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." So trials will come, testings will come, difficulties will come. Verse 3, "For you know, for you are sure, you are clear in your own mind, that the testing of your faith," and our faith must be tested, "it produces steadfastness." Last night we heard in regards to being faithful men, part of that is that we might be steadfast. It produces the testing of our faith. The Lord allows our faith to be tested, and it has been said, and I believe well said, that a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. Thought about that this morning for a while. A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. Another way to put that perhaps would be smooth, and I'm thinking again of the analogy of the ocean and sailing. Smooth seas do not make skillful sailors. I remember sailing down the Suez Canal, and that was after coming out of the Mediterranean, where we hit a storm, and we were all over the place in the Mediterranean. I used to think, surely the Mediterranean can't be that bad. You know, reading in Acts and Paul's travels and the shipwreck, and thought, surely I looked at a world map. It looks fairly sheltered. I got onto the Doulos, the OM ship, when we were in Cyprus, and we sailed down really just towards the Suez Canal. And that was the worst I've ever experienced on a large ship. We were all over the place. And it was terrible. I was like, wow, this is pretty bad. And then we hit the Suez Canal, and we waited. It was one of those strange experiences, as if there was a stoplight there, because ships can go one direction and then you wait and then they come the other direction, and we just waited. And then it was time for the ships to go down, and we went down. It was a Sunday morning, I remember that, and it was beautiful. I thought, now this is why I wanted to join this ship. It was absolutely beautiful, as smooth and as silky as you can imagine, and you could see land on either side, and it was beautiful. But smooth seas do not make skillful sailors. The same can be said of a faith that cannot be tested, cannot be trusted. And so, coming back to James, we note this, that the testing of your faith, and these will come, it produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Peter says a similar thing in 1 Peter. Just turn forward briefly, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, the ESV says, more precious than gold, and we're going to look at this golden image, this golden statue, the tested genuineness of your faith. So this morning I want to talk a little bit about a bold faith in a troubled world, but the testing of our faith, the testing of our faith. So let's turn to Daniel chapter 3, and I'm not going to go through everything here. We know the story fairly well. In fact, if you don't know the story, which I know you do, but imagine you didn't know it, the children, when they come here in a little bit, are going to do a drama on it, so then you'll get to see it firsthand. And we want to trust the Lord for the work in their hearts, that even as they do this drama, the Lord would speak to their hearts about the need to stand for the Lord. So the background of this, again, I'm not going through it all, but for the sake of time, but it comes out of chapter 2. Nebuchadnezzar had this great dream, and Daniel had interpreted it and spoke of this great statue, the head made of gold, which he informed Nebuchadnezzar he was. And so for some reason, Nebuchadnezzar decided to build a great image, a golden statue. It says it's 90 feet high, 9 feet wide, and he puts it out there and he demands that people bow down to this great statue. And if they don't bow down to the great statue, they are thrown in this fiery furnace. In other words, they will be killed. They will die. Music is played beforehand so people can be ready to bow down to this great statue that Nebuchadnezzar makes. And as the story unfolds before us, people begin to bow down to this great statue. This is the background of what is taking place, and things seem to be well. And then we come to verse 12, and this is where we want to begin, and we see the accusation. There's an accusation made, and we see it towards certain Jews. So let's pick it up in verse 12, and we want to note this. As these leaders come to Nebuchadnezzar, and they tell him that this is what has taken place. Verse 12, there are certain Jews who you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these ones, and they named them. These men, O king, this is the accusation. Three things. We note three things that they accuse them of. Number one, they pay no attention to you. That's the first accusation. They do not serve your gods. That's the second one. Or worship the golden image that you have set up. And that's the third one. They pay no attention to you. They don't serve your gods. And they won't bow down to this great golden image that you've set up. This great accusation against these certain Jews. And again, we see, as we looked at yesterday briefly, we see Daniel, one man willing to stand against 122 men accusing. The same principle is here in regards to these three men. And it's quite an interesting chapter because, again, we see the power of example. We see how the life of Daniel had a great effect on these three friends. And they were willing to die rather than to compromise the Word of God. Nebuchadnezzar hears of this and this great accusation against him, and he summons them in. And so in verse 13 and 14, we're going to look at the summons. He asks them to come before him. These men, he knows them. He has a bit of a relationship with them. And he says in verse 13 and 14, he says this, then Nebuchadnezzar, in a furious rage, he's not happy about this, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and he said to them, is it true? Is it so? You can almost hear, though he's angry, he doesn't want to deal with these men in this way. And he gives them a second chance. Often, you and I may resist the first temptation, but it doesn't mean the trial is over. It might come again. The opportunity might come again toward us, the great testing of our faith. Nebuchadnezzar answered and he said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego?" He knew them. He knew them by name. "That you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up. Is it true?" And it's in that, even though he's angry, it's in that question that he's giving them a second opportunity to do what he's commanded them to do. Sometimes we can overcome the first great temptation or the first great test, but then another one will come, and then another one. It allows fear to perhaps grip our hearts. "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, when you hear the horn and the pipe and this music playing, you are to fall down and to worship the image that I have made." Again, emphasis there. I've made this great image. Bow down to it. And then he gave them the alternative. Second opportunity. Just do this. But he said, "If you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace." And then comes, as we would see in this verse 15, the challenge. "And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" The challenge. And yet again, God will show himself to Nebuchadnezzar. So we see the accusation, we see the summons, and we see this great challenge. "Who is the God that will deliver you out of my hands?" And again, perhaps this is one of the best examples of our faith being tested. Many years ago, Andrew Murray, going through various trials and testing, feeling overcome and overwhelmed, went into his office to stop, to pray, to think, to be before the Lord. And he spent, it would seem, some many hours, a good part of the day just before the Lord, crying out to the Lord. How would he deal with this great trial, this great test that is before him? And he concluded it in four ways. And he put it like this: "I am here before this great test. Number one, by God's appointment." He concluded in his mind that he was in God's hands and that God had ordained this. "I am here by God's appointment. This is how I'm going to deal with testing, and this is how I'm going to deal with trials. The first thing I need to consider, remember, keep before me is that I am here by God's appointment." Number one. Secondly, number two, as he worked through this in the Word of God and in prayer and being quiet before the Lord, he concluded, "I'm also not only here by God's appointment, I'm here in His keeping." Andrew Murray would work through this in his own heart and mind, and the second truth that he concluded in regards to these great trials that he was facing is that I'm in His keeping. By God's appointment, number one, in His keeping, number two. And we notice, again, the emphasis was always pushed back to the Lord. It's always pushed back to the Lord. By God's appointment, I am here, and I'm in His keeping. And then thirdly, he said, as he would come to grips with facing difficult trials, "I am under His training." I'm under His training. He is training me. So number one, by God's appointment, I am here. I face this. Number two, but I am in His keeping. But I have to understand the third truth. I am under His training. And then lastly, fourthly, he said, "For His time." For His time. And once Andrew Murray concluded these four great truths about facing tests and facing trials, he would come back to it over and over again in his life. And as he would face another trial or another test, he would go back through his own mind, keeping his mind fresh of these four truths by God's appointment, in his keeping, under his training, for his time. And would keep his mind upon the Lord. Would keep his mind upon the Lord. Now, fear is one of the great attacks of the enemy to get us to compromise or to give up or to bow down, as it were, to a golden image. Nebuchadnezzar had really put that before them, fear. You can do it and have your life saved. And as we heard last night, if we try to save our life, we'll lose it. But he said, you can face the other alternative. And he throws a big wad of fear at them. If you don't, you shall immediately, straight away, right now, be cast in a burning fiery furnace. Basically, you're going to die. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? And again, you see on different levels in this story as well, God is working and will work in Nebuchadnezzar's life, but he's also working in and through the lives of these three friends as he tests their faith. This is a great response. We all know it, but again, let's just touch on it briefly this morning. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and they said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer to you in this matter. You know our answer. We've already answered you once, and our answer is the same again. If this be so, and again, great statement of faith, our God, whom we serve, that's who we serve, he is able, more than able, to deliver us. He can do it, if he so chooses. From the burning fiery furnace. Wow, what a statement of faith. I know, we know the story well, and sometimes perhaps we forget what a statement of faith that is. I mean, I don't know if you could say that, and there's a huge burning fire, and they're saying, bow down to this, and you say, no. My God can save me from that. He doesn't only just save them from it, he saves them in it. That's the most astonishing thing to me. They didn't know what he was going to do. Perhaps they thought maybe he'll cause it, the big fire to go out, perhaps. Or maybe they thought that no one would be able to get close to them. There was some kind of barrier around them. But did they ever think that he would save them in the fire? I don't think so. Because I wouldn't have thought like that. I don't know how about you. But he saves them in the fire. Not from it, but in it. And sometimes the Lord in his training, as Andrew Murray would say, I'm under his training. Sometimes he allows us to go right into that fire. And we have to understand that, again, we're under his authority, under his training, and he knows what we need. I've coached a lot of soccer over the years, and, parents say to me, you know, if you can just take my daughter or my son and if they can play on this team and they're all excited that they're going to be Ronaldo at the end of the soccer season. And basically, you know, you watch them kick the soccer ball for the first time and you know that, it's going to take a lot of work. A lot of training, a lot of repetition, a lot of doing just the drills and the skills that to get them to this point. Training takes time. It's not automatic. And again, this is part of their training. And as the Lord speaks and strengthens them in this great battle, again, verse 17, if this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from... Note that, from the burning fiery furnace. He can deliver us from that. But he actually delivers them in it, which is even more miraculous. Great testimony that is used to work in the life of Nebuchadnezzar. Now at this point again, what is thrown at them is the perspective of fear. The fear of our life. Now, it's said of sheep that, again, we can take this in any particular location, but let's just use where I got the illustration from. They were in Texas, out in the plains, and there was these sheep in the pen. And in the distance, you heard these coyotes wailing and going on. They smelt the sheep. The sheep were sleeping. And then they heard the coyotes howling and going on. And there was the shepherd nearby, and there was a man that was sitting out with him that night. Soon as the coyotes start going, howling and coming closer, the sheep all get up and they all begin to get nervous. They start, what does sheep do? Bleeding? I don't know. Anyway, start making their noise. And the shepherd, as he sits there by the fire, he throws more logs into the fire, and the fire gets a little bit bigger. And the man sitting with him, as he does that, he looks into the pen, and he's able then, because of the reflection of the fire as it gets bigger, he's able to see all these eyes of the sheep. And the thing that struck him, and this is the principle that we have to learn, the thing that struck him was that the sheep were looking toward the shepherd and not toward the coyotes shouting and howling in the outside. That's how you overcome fear. Often we look at our fear and it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. But these sheep didn't look to the coyotes, they looked to the shepherd. And again, in a passage like this, as we come to these three friends, they could look to Nebuchadnezzar. They could look to that image. They could look to the fiery furnace. But they look to God. They look to the shepherd. And they overcome their fear. That's the principle. The testing of our faith. We have to be found looking toward the shepherd. Because he's the one that's going to keep us in the difficulty. He's the one that's going to keep us from the coyotes. And it's an interesting principle. Even these sheep, and again, people have... I heard when I was here, Mr. Carroll would repeat it often, that sheep are the dumbest animals around. I used to believe that, but I don't believe that anymore. I think chickens are the most dumbest animals ever. Boy, we only have 9 of them at home, but I haven't worked with sheep very much at all. But I could comprehend that chickens. Wow. Anyway, that's beside the point. But Mr. Carroll would press home again, sheep are so dumb and stupid, but they're not totally. They look to the shepherd. Their eyes gazing toward the shepherd. And they make this statement. We got about 1 minute before all these kids come in. Here's Emily even. She's even here. Good. Thank you. You're supposed to come in that door, but we'll accept you coming in that door. Okay. Even so, they say, God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. And then lastly, we want to note this, because we'll see what happens. But if not, even if he doesn't, be it known to you, O king, he can, but even if he doesn't, we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. And again, we spoke in the beginning about the life of conviction, willing to honor God no matter the cost. And here these men are willing to do that, even if it costs them their very life. Let's pray, and the children will come in. Father, we thank you this morning just for the word of God. And again, the great challenge that we will be tested in our faith. But as these sheep would look to the shepherd when they hear the danger, Lord, oh, meet us to look to the shepherd to overcome our fear. We thank you. Trust again this time with the children to you. Pray you'd work in their hearts. Teach them your way. In Jesus' name, amen.